secret. Happy Darwin Day!
Woo!
Yay!
It's the holiday that we don't really celebrate, and I feel really two ways about, because Darwin himself wouldn't really like it, and it's not like Christmas, because,
I didn't wake up with presents under a tree.
Yeah, and we're not,
Yeah, and Mommy didn't make coffee cake.
And as we'll be talking about today, it's not like we're expecting him to arrive any day now and give us the new origin of the new species or anything like that. He's just, you know, we're just celebrating the publishing of a book, which is the foundation of modern biological science.
Indeed.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name is Sam, and with me today is Becky.
Hello.
And Nick, how you doing?
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, boy. So, been an interesting year, hey, Becky?
Yes, indeed. I seem to remember last year we were talking about Darwin right about this time.
Yeah, actually, yes. If you're a fan of the show, you'll know that Darwin is not a prophet was something that we tried talking about last year, except I hijacked the show to...
You did indeed.
...propose to Becky, and that's still underway, the whole getting hitched process. So
we're back again this year revisiting some of that. Why is Darwin not a prophet? Why are people celebrating his birthday around the world today, and what are we doing about it, and, well, why?
Yeah, I got some news first, though.
Indeed.
First, everybody here at Ask an Atheist would like to send well wishes and warm fuzzy things to Rich Lyons, a cast member of the show, and the guy who is one half of Living After Faith, the podcast, which is, a project related to ours. He ran into some medical difficulty lately. He's out now, and he's doing fine, but still, we should say, hey, how you doing?
And feel better, Rich.
Feel better soon.
Yeah. Send good vibes. He could use good vibes.
Except
do we believe in vibes?
No, not really.
No?
We could add him to the prayer circle, the name.
Big positive.
Yes.
What do you say? Say, I think, no, keep him in your thoughts.
Yeah,
yes.
That's really where you go.
Go over to his apartment, pay him a visit if you are allowed to do something like that, if he would want you there. Not like if you're some kind of creepy stalker, creepster stalker.
Yeah. Oh, come on, dude. Don't invite that. Yeah, let's not invite
I'm not going to invite. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, Rich, if you're listening. I'm inviting people over to your house.
So there's two other things we need to talk about. First, if you have recently sent feedback to Ask an Atheist via our feedback form, I'm very sorry. I'm going to be getting out the hammer of sorrow later today on the blog. We recently had a server move, and I forgot to cross dot the I, cross the T, and carry the one, and, you know, add the semicolon at the end. And some of our feedback got lost. So if you recently sent us feedback, especially with feedback regarding our last episode, the coming out episode, I'd really appreciate it if you could resend it. It would be really good for us. We'd like to hear what people have to say about the episode. And you can either use our feedback form by going to askanatheist.tv and clicking the shiny candy-like button, or you can email us at
questions@askanatheist.tv.
Indeed. Or you can call us right now at 253-584-1480. And we've got some news today, don't we?
We do. You know, unfortunately, we're really happy that Rich is doing okay. Unfortunately, we couldn't say the same for a young boy who unfortunately passed away, actually, in 2009 due to a burst appendix. And this news story actually comes to us from the Seattle Times via an Associated Press release. And this is called Carlton Couple Charged in Son's Appendicitis Death. The Okanagan County prosecutor has charged a faith-healing couple with second-degree murder in the death of their 17-year-old son who had a burst appendix. The prosecutor, Carl Sloan, told the Wenatchee World that faith is not a reason for failing to seek medical attention for your children. Zachary Swayze died in March 2009 at his family home in Carlton, and his parents, Gregory and Garnett Swayze, who belonged to the Church of the Firstborn that believes in faith healing, they had elders from the church pray over Zachary and anoint him with oil the day before he died. And even though Greg Swayze told police that his son did not ask to go to the doctor, we here at Ask an Atheist strongly condemn any kind of faith healing that would prevent a 17-year-old boy from getting care in the name of not wanting to, not having asked to go to a doctor.
Yeah, you do have to cut a fine line here. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in not establishing, you know, in basically free expression. People are allowed to participate in faith healing if they like. I mean, I do think it's crap. Let's not beat around the bush here. But that just because you're into faith healing, that's not really an excuse to, for wanton child abuse, which is what this is. It killed the child.
Yes.
I mean, 17 years old, practically an adult.
But he is under his parents' care.
An adult if he committed a crime.
Indeed, yes.
But apparently, he's, you know, his parents are allowed to tell him not to seek medical attention.
Yes.
I guess what I'm saying in this case is if you want to do faith healing, fine, but also seek medical attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we at Ask an Atheist, you know, since our inception at Scan TV, we've actually reported a few times on faith healing families in Oregon, and Oregon has recently passed legislation that prevents parents from basically doing these kinds of things to their children without consequence, without legal consequence and legal responsibility for their children.
Which is exactly the right thing to do, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. There was that one article a couple years ago with the one child that had the tumor in the eye, and it was practically as big as his head. Clearly.
And the child was being blinded, essentially, by this tumor, and the parents refused to seek medical attention for that. And this was one of the reasons that this law was passed in Oregon, was really pushed through in Oregon.
Right.
Because we've seen a few cases where parents just refuse to abide by medical science and the miracles that can happen when you bring your child to have adequate care.
Yeah.
The suffering of children is really nothing that should ever happen in the name of, in the name of your personal beliefs. You can have your personal beliefs. Don't hurt your child because of it.
Yeah, that's essentially the point I was going to make. It is one thing if you want to do it on your own, but making someone else follow your absolutely crazy beliefs as far as medical treatment, forsaking science and just going off of what your church tells you to do without seeing a doctor, yeah, that is abuse, and it's completely flat out wrong.
It's troubling. I'm actually speechless about this one. Faith healing, I understand what it is, I understand why people do it, but there are millions of people out there who also believe, but who seek medical attention, who follow the evidence.
And have this in concert with their beliefs. They have their beliefs in concert with seeking adequate medical attention for their children. In any case, the Swayzes were charged on February 2nd and are scheduled to be arraigned on March 5th in Okanagan. And we really hope that, one, this can possibly set an example or let people understand that you can't have, this kind of thing where you deny medical attention to your child.
And if you'd like to talk to us about this, you can give us a call at 253-584-1480. If you're interested in letting us know what you think about faith healing and whether or not people should be allowed to do it, we'd love to hear your opinion.
Exactly.
So, speaking of opinions, there's a conversation we had in the early days of Ask an Atheist, where we were wondering if, what the atheism community felt about LGBT civil rights. And rather than just say we're for it right away or making a decision one way or another, we started a dialogue and we asked people in the atheism community whether or not they had any excuses to be against, say, gay marriage that were based in evidence or based in science or based in anything other than religion, anything other than secular
or just
sectarianism.
Flat out bigotry.
Yeah, well, fair.
I think, Sam, that it's really interesting you used. We asked if you had any excuses for that. What we came to understand is that any of the arguments that individuals came up for really were excuses.
Yeah.
But we, to be fair, we did ask, are there any secularly based arguments to keep two consenting adults from marrying each other?
Right. And it culminated in the episode where we talked about another atheism show which had a very different opinion than ours, but I'm not really going to go into that. But we waited, we got several pieces we got several ideas, and what mostly we got were people saying, well, I have a friend who says this, or I know somebody who says this as an excuse for their religion. The only thing that anybody was willing to say about themselves was just the ick factor. And at that point, we made it was pretty clear to me that all of this was about it really was about religion. Religion was the thing holding us back here. So we felt that it was time to start talking about it on the show.
And that's disgusting. That makes me sick is not a valid excuse.
It's not. And that brings us, this is another subject that we've been talking about, and that's abortion. We've done a couple of calls over the last few months for reasons in the atheism community, reasons that are evidence-based, reasons that, opinions, but not emotional arguments or religious arguments, to be against reproductive rights or against abortions or anything like that. And we're looking for those arguments. And if you have them, you can call us at 253-584-1480. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, or you can go to our website at askanatheist.tv and let us know. We're kind of getting close to making some decisions about that, but we need this to be a dialogue. We can't, it just seems weird if we just say we're deciding to make this decision.
What we really want to figure out is that we hear a lot of the anti-choice, arguments coming from mostly religious politicians or religious individuals, and we want to know, are there reasons to be against abortion, or are there reasons to be against birth control accessibility that are not steeped in religion?
And we're not going to pretend that these arguments don't exist if we haven't gone looking for them. And I have gone looking for some of them, and I've got some material material in that respect, but I want to see what listeners feel.
I guess this is kind of our last call for help me, Sam.
Oh, it's last call for opinions.
it's a
request for comment. For those of you familiar with the phrase. And so again, just, you know, reach us by any of the myriad ways. Let us know how you feel, and we'll get that wrapped up soon.
I think so. I'm looking forward to some of the feedback we get about that. So one of the things that many folks may be doing today is celebrating Darwin Day. There's Darwin Day celebrations happening all around the country, and in fact around the world. It's kind of neat.
And a couple of which are local. I know Seattle Atheist has one today up in Seattle.
Yes, indeed.
And unsurprisingly.
We're a little bit, it smarts a little bit for me to miss that, because I always like doing some of the children's activities. I know that there's things around the country where you have birthday cakes for old Charlie and whatnot.
And one of the things that religious people like to talk to us about is they like to say that Darwin is the prophet of atheism. Darwin is the guy who replaces everybody else in the atheism community. He replaces Jesus. He replaces Moses. He replaces the Buddha. He's just somebody who's the guy who sits there and makes all the decisions. It works the same way. Atheism is a religion, and Darwin is their prophet. And that's not so. It's just not so.
So I think today what we really want to address on this Darwin Day is that Darwin really is just a scientist, is just a human being. He's not our prophet.
Right.
And one of the things that sort of spurred this conversation in my head was that I saw on the First Christian Fellowship of Eternal Sovereignty an article called Charles Darwin, the False Prophet of Anti-Science. And it just struck me as quite funny and quite interesting how someone from a different perspective could see or could view that atheists or humanists or people that do not believe in a god or have religion would essentially need to replace this hole for Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha with a particular figure.
Right.
And Sam, you had a really nice metaphor for this.
This is basically, part of it is the God-shaped hole argument, which is vaguely referenced in this paper, is the idea that those of us without religion have something missing in our personalities, which can only be filled by God. And the other side of this is, in a related argument, is the idea, and this is something we hear a lot. The Dr. Dino guy said this a lot, Kent Hovind said this a lot, where if there's no God, then everybody gets a free promotion. Suddenly, man is God, and man makes all of the decisions about the universe, and da-da-da-da-da, and we are the creator. That's not how it works. It's not like God is fired and everybody gets a free promotion. It's not a ladder. The ladder just doesn't go that high.
Nor, after God is fired, is he replaced by someone else.
Right. It's what it is just there is that position has been removed. It's not a part of the company anymore.
Mm-hmm. Though I must say, being promoted to a deity would make things pretty awesome. I mean, I can control just basically anything.
I think you and Mike might agree, but I don't know. I kind of like things as they are. The idea of gods actually scares me a little bit. Anybody can do whatever they like.
If I realized my God powers really, really quickly, I could take away everyone else's God powers.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a minute.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speaking at the conference is Richard Dawkins, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Oxford, author of many books including The Magic of Reality, and well-known to the atheist community as one of the Four Horsemen. Also speaking is friend of the show and author of Attack of the Theocrats, Sean Faircloth. The cast of Ask an Atheist will be making an appearance and recording an episode in front of a live audience. For more information, visit nwfreethoughtalliance.org.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and today we are explaining about how Darwin is not a religious prophet. He's a scientist who we happen to like quite a bit.
Right? We do. And today is the anniversary of Darwin's birthday. You know, something struck me as really interesting. I was reading a paper, and this individual who had written this paper wrote, "Darwin and the theory of evolution are not science, and to call them such would be to insult the credibility of science and the scientific method." And something that's really funny about that is, well, they're not science, and what is this person proposing that Darwin and the theory of evolution are? They're proposing that it is a religious cult and a religious idea. Now, let's take a look at the word theory of evolution. Can we have any faith in this word theory? Is a theory of evolution a credo in any way whatsoever?
I'm not really certain what a credo is.
A belief in some kind of faith. Sam, do you have faith in the theory of evolution?
Not particularly.
Well, there's science to back it up.
Right. I mean, the evidence kind of helps.
Yes, indeed. And really, one of the things behind this is that when we say scientific theory is a well-tested concept that explains a whole range of observations about reality and about the natural world. And it's really different from this colloquial use of the word theory or the literary use of the word theory as an idea or an opinion or a guess.
This is a bugbear of mine a little bit.
It really is.
The scientific definition of the word theory and the scientific definition of the word hypothesis and what people in science say, what they mean when they say the word idea, are different than what we use them, how we use them in non-professional capacities. To the point where if you look at a dictionary for hypothesis, in many dictionaries, it includes the word theory in the definition of hypothesis when it's not. They are two different, stages of a thought, basically.
That's a really good way to put it. I like that. Two different stages of a thought. And really what it requires is, you know, we have these different contexts for using the word theory. And sometimes people will say, well, religion is just a theory about how the world works. Great, but it's not a scientific theory. And these different contexts require us to be flexible in our understanding of these words. So back to this gentleman who wrote about Darwinism and the theory of evolution as this sort of cult.
Well, specifically neo-Darwinism.
Yes, it's really interesting.
Because
he says,
the neo makes it scarier.
Yes, if it's new, it's strange and not to be trusted.
Well, I think he's making a clear allusion to a neo something else.
Well, yes, I mean, you have these scary terms like neo-communist or neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
And those are very scary things. So if you attach neo to something, of course it makes it scarier.
Now, neo-Darwinism was a thing back in the 19th century. It was sort of the combination of Darwin's Origin of the Species and the genetics of a certain gentleman?
Gregor Mendel, a monk who really was the one with the pea plants, and he figured out how those genetic inheritance principles worked.
Right.
And it really sort of coalesced into this wonderful understanding of how evolution works. I mean, Darwin hypothesized on the origin of species, how it worked, but he didn't really understand the genetic mechanism behind it. We got Gregor Mendel, we got his work together, put it together with Darwin, and we understood a little bit more. And that's what really neo-Darwinism sort of referred to. It's the amalgamation of these different observations and to put together a real scientific theory.
Right.
So I think that we can say, really, that this person is false when he says that neo-Darwinism will be judged by history as a minor 20th century religious sect within the sprawling religious persuasion of Anglo-Saxon biology.
Wow, that's loaded with a lot of stuff. Anglo-Saxon biology, for one thing. That's a
what I hear when I hear that is just word salad.
No, there's a little bit. It's a lot of it's very buzzword heavy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, this guy could write internet startup copy. I mean, it's that kind of stuff. Anglo-Saxon biology, that's so heavily loaded to make it sound as racist as possible. The other thing is 20th century religion. It's already the 21st century. And, you know, Darwinian evolution does not seem to be going away in any meaningful way.
Certainly not going away. One of the wonderful things that we've had happen to our understanding of evolution is that we've added to it. We have these great fields called epigenetics, and it's sort of like what happens in a gene in a formed organism to turn on and off certain gene mechanisms.
Right.
And that's outside of what Darwin or Mendel speculated at the time, observed at the time, but we've added to this, and it just makes a wonderful understanding of how organisms get to be the way they are.
And that's an important way that Darwin is not a prophet. I mean, right there, that's the key. I mean, the rest of this could practically be window dressing compared to this one point, which is what Darwin said, what Darwin wrote, was written in a book, and it was revolutionary at the time, even though he sat on it for a while, and he wasn't the only guy who thought of it. But it's not static. This is not the Quran. This is not the Bible. This is not stuff that is immune to change. It is not immutable. The art and the science has advanced in the 150 or so years since the publishing of the book. And that, I mean, we've changed, we still believe in evolution, or we still have evolution. Evolution
we
is still a fact.
Understand that it happened.
Yeah.
And it is happening.
But our positions on things has changed as the evidence comes in and we get better at stuff. And that's scientific process through the scientific method.
It's just awesome. I mean, what are the characteristics of a prophet, and what doesn't make Darwin a prophet? This is what you look at in prophets, okay? When the biblical and religious world looks at what a prophet is.
Is this specifically sort of a biblical type of prophet? Or
yes, sort of the big three, the Judeo-Christian and Muslim sort of prophets. What does it look like? Well, prophets receive direct messages from supernatural sources like God, and the messages are for society and groups. Doesn't really qualify. He doesn't fit the bill on that. Darwin doesn't really get this message about the origin species from God. He gets it right from his own observations of nature.
It's actually very interesting because people tried to take Darwin's theories and take them out of biology and put them in, say, sociology, as they tried to use survival of the fittest as an excuse to support the British case system. And it didn't make any sense, and Darwin didn't care for it. It's not what it was for. It's a laser-focused message. It's a laser-focused theory. It's about one thing.
And it definitely didn't come from a supernatural being. It came from himself.
It came from observation and
evidence. Yes, it did come from observations that he made. It wasn't something that he heard from a burning bush.
Quite.
Yeah, he heard them from a few tweeting finches on a few awesome islands off the coast of South America. Sam, you bring up a really good point. I mean, the purpose of a prophet is generally to create change in the behavior of a society, and mostly to align the behavior of society with the word of God or whatever sort of higher supernatural authority it is.
Right.
And Darwin had no interest in doing that. He himself did not develop his theory of the origin of species with any intent to influence societal behavior, and it's really after that point where others would have subsequently used his discoveries and work to create some social change. Sometimes it's been for the good, like educational curriculum and policy GM regulations, genetically modified food regulations and things like that. Sometimes it's for the bad, like maintaining the British caste system or eugenics even. But that himself is not Darwin, nor are any of those part of the sort of canon of a quote atheist religion. This has
right.
nothing to do with any kind of canon, nor is it any kind of religion.
So, and this is another thing, is that what happens is that when you have a religion, it has rules and morality, and it's all dogma, and it suggests that you do things in a very specific way. Sometimes it enforces that you do things in a very specific way, and it generally forms a type of government, and, you know, we have the Vatican, and the Quran suggests a very specific type of law. Darwin suggested none of these things. The theory of evolution suggests none of these things, but because they expect religious ideology to have a favored government, and they pretend that evolution is a religion. They expect evolution to have a favored government, and that just ain't so. There's nothing in the literature, there's nothing in the science to suggest a government based on evolution. Nor does evolution necessarily drive my personal morality. There are certain things that happen out there in the wilderness with wild animals that I would not like to see in my home, even though it was observed by Darwin and is part of evolution.
Not to mention, when people change the theory of evolution or find something new and add to it, or perhaps debunk something that was observed before, we do not get offended. We welcome things like that because that is the beauty of science.
Yes.
Every time we are proven wrong, that makes us one little step closer to knowing what is going on.
And as Mike likes to point out, science is not afraid to say, I don't know, which is one of those...
Exactly.
Which is something that prophets tend not to do, correct?
Correct, absolutely. I mean, the whole point of a prophet is that you don't have any false prophecies. Basically, you get a clean record, and that makes you a true prophet.
Right.
And if a prophet messes up, oh, they're a false prophet. You're in deep trouble there, and you better not listen to them. One of the other things that I think just is so funny is that most prophets have some kind of attention-getting stunt that they pull. Most biblical prophets, Isaiah went streaking, other people...
Burning landscaping, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. Exactly. I mean, you do something really dramatic. What did Darwin do? He went out on a voyage. Okay, that's kind of adventurous. He had the beagle. That was the name of his ship. But, you know, he was out on a crew doing some observations, some cool scientific things. It wasn't completely out of the ordinary for someone who grew up well-educated in England at the time. And, I mean, he hardly had any kind of attention-getting stunts unless you count reluctantly publishing his theory several years after the fact.
Yeah.
And the whole reason that he held out on that is because he did not want to... He was intensely conflicted about upsetting his deeply religious wife.
So what you're saying in this case is that the attention-getting stunt is something that prophets generally do.
And Darwin doesn't fit the bill in this case.
Okay, all right. That sounds a bit like a character judgment.
I'm not sure. I'm just I think that it's one of the ways in which he really does not fit the pattern of being any kind of religious prophet in the way that that we've come to understand and observe prophetic behaviors.
All right.
So, hey, you know what, Sam, you started out the beginning of the show talking about, you're kind of conflicted on whether we should celebrate Darwin Day or not. I've heard some people say, well, all that we're doing is glorifying Darwin, and soon enough, we'll deify him, we'll idolize him, we're giving a birthday cake to him, we're singing his praises, one might say.
Well, there's definitely some praise involved. I mean, we're very, very happy with the way things are going scientifically, I should think. But there's a difference between praising somebody and worshiping somebody, I should hope. I praise children who perform well in school. I don't necessarily worship children who perform well in school. I mean...
If I did, then I would have 150 people to worship every different year, and they would change from year to year.
Yeah, you'd have an inverted pantheon, basically. It'd be one worshiper for hundreds of gods.
But, I mean, are people saying that we're deifying Martin Luther King Jr. or Lincoln or Washington or perhaps even Carl Sagan?
That's right. You know? We do have days named for them, and we do have even... you know, important things like highways and bridges and airports named after them.
Well, getting back to sort of definitions, I think praise, when you speak religiously, may be a bit of a loaded word. When they say praise, they mean the sort of hellish heaven that they suggest comes to you if you are devout, where you die and then you go to heaven and then you spend all of your time praising God forever and ever without cease. So it... Maybe it's a loaded phrase? I don't know. You know a bit about this. Do you praise stuff?
Did I praise things when I was religious? I guess, personally, I mean, I had a very different take on things than maybe my my religious upbringing as a whole would have. I'm not sure. I think sometimes it's sort of publicly declaring how amazed you are with something.
Right.
And... I think that it's okay to do that for someone who made a really important contribution to our world. But Nick, I like, you know, what you were saying. We don't, you know, we talk about and we appreciate the contributions that Martin Luther King Jr. made, and we sort of symbolize a lot of, we wrap up our appreciation of the civil rights movement and our public service in that one day named for this one man. But I don't think we're anywhere close to deifying Martin Luther King.
I definitely agree.
Sam might withhold judgment on
no,
that.
No, not about Martin Luther King. But I will say that I'm part of my concern about Darwin Day and why we do it really is what will the neighbors think? It's just after the major holidays for most of the religions. It's in sort of a dead zone for holidays. It's in sort of a break, but it's right after the holidays. And we have parties, we have cake, we have birthday cakes. I knew one family that would have a birthday cake for Jesus every Christmas because it's his birthday.
Well, and because of cake.
Well, it's also, yeah, cake is nice. It's also cake.
It's delicious.
And I can see how somebody who isn't really familiar with the niceties and the nuance here would see this as we're just replacing Jesus with Darwin.
But at the same time, do you think that we need to stop our behavior based on what other people might think and what other people might misinterpret or misunderstand?
Sometimes I do.
Hmm.
Maybe in my weaker moments, I do, I think, is what I have to say.
I'm glad we're here to clarify, then.
But even then, Darwin Day isn't nearly as well known as Martin Luther King Day or President's Day or any other really holiday, for that matter. I didn't even know the day of it, and I'm an atheist.
Yeah. I've gone to Darwin Day events. I've done things at Darwin Day events. I had sort of a big Darwin Day surprise last year, as you might remember.
Mm-hmm.
But and I guess the reason I've decided to go along with the Darwin Day thing is that it's a great time for science education, if you think about it, because it's all about evolution. It's all about biology. We can get together and, you know, in the United States, where evolution education is not all it could be. I'm sure you could speak on that.
Lessons on natural selection, some great labs that we did when I was in 10th grade biology. I'm a school teacher now. I've taught K through 12 in many different contexts at this point. And, well, I don't see that in every single school, certainly not in every single high school. And it worries me that we don't have that kind of understanding, maybe not even until community college or university.
I was very lucky in that my elementary school had a very strong evolution curriculum, but it was precisely because of a single teacher who loved that subject and made sure all of her students in her school walked away with an understanding of the theory of evolution. I was very lucky in that respect. And I realized as I talked to people in the Puget Sound area and, you know, in Arizona and everywhere I've lived, not everybody got that education. I didn't realize that I was unique in that respect.
Nick, did you get that kind of education when you were in high school?
No, I didn't. It was kind of glossed over.
Yeah, because people are afraid because, well, it's a majority religious, you know, place we live in, and a lot of those people don't believe in evolution. I mean, look at the presidential candidates for the past, five or six presidential elections. Most of them are going to raise objections about evolution.
Now, Sam, do you remember any backlash towards this teacher for teaching evolution?
No, actually, I don't. Part of the reason why I didn't realize it was special is nobody seemed to back out. Nobody seemed to have any problems with it. Religion was mentioned in the curriculum about there are some religions that don't feel the same way.
Just basically to mention the fact that they exist.
Right, right. For religious discussion, that was saved for social studies class. But this was science. This year we were talking about evolution.
One of the cool things is that when I was in high school looking at biology, one of the ways in which religion was mentioned was, hey, you know what, a lot of the scientific discoveries actually came from people who were religious, and this actually changed a lot of people's opinions about this. I mean, Gregor Mendel was a monk.
Right.
Charles Darwin was religiously trained as well.
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, he had a deeply religious wife. I think maybe when we come back from the break, we could talk a little bit about some of the churches that are also participating in what this is being called Evolution Weekend, and some Darwin Day exploration.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We are talking about Charles Darwin and Darwin Day celebrations. We'll be back after the break.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speaking at the conference is Richard Dawkins, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Oxford, author of many books including The Magic of Reality, and well-known to the atheist community as one of the Four Horsemen. Also speaking is friend of the show and author of Attack of the Theocrats, Sean Faircloth. The cast of Ask an Atheist will be making an appearance and recording an episode in front of a live audience. For more information, visit nwfreethoughtalliance.org.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Sigmund Freud said, "The voice of the intellect is a soft one, but it does not rest until it has gained a hearing." Whether you're at a point in life where you are questioning your beliefs, or if you've always been an atheist or agnostic, the Auburn Freethought Society is a place where your own voice of intellect will be heard. You'll interact with like-minded people, engage in intellectual conversation, and share your experiences with others in the Auburn, Washington area. At Auburn Freethought Society, we encourage critical thought and reason. For details, find us on Facebook and on meetup.com. Auburn Freethought Society. Have real discussion and share real ideas. Really.
If you long to escape the religious bias on your television, if you love scientific shows, if you think that funny and thought-provoking are not mutually exclusive, then we'd like to welcome you to a network made with you in mind. Secular Video Network is an online source for free-thinking programs. We feature a range of videos from Mr. Deedy, The Thinking Atheist, and Richard Dawkins. While watching, you can participate in our live chat for engaging discussions. There is no cost, there is no proselytizing, just non-stop thought-provoking shows. So visit us at secularvideonetwork.com.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're talking about Charles Darwin and the Darwin Day celebrations, which are now a feature of a lot of secular and sometimes not secular organizations that exist out there. So we've got a sort of a point-counterpoint, because we were talking about how churches and how they react to Darwin. And our first point comes from the First Christian Fellowship of Eternal Sovereignty's Joshua Joel Holloman Hansen. Wow, that's a mouthful. And he summarizes... Not only is it important to see Darwinism for what it is, a religious cult and not science, it is also important to see science for what it is, a witness of God's power and knowledge and not as his enemy. God works his miracles and wonders through the laws of nature that he set forth and not through some system of arbitrary magic or mysticism. So long as God is nature's master, man will always have the higher law to serve and follow and will always be protected by unalienable rights. Yeah, that the higher law entitles them.
I think this is really great because it's someone who's clearly quite religious and feels quite quite sovereign as a member of the Christian Fellowship of Eternal Sovereignty.
Right.
And he's really looking for people who are scientifically leaning to say, hey, you know what? You people who believe in Darwin and evolution, you're just believing in a false cult. Really what you need to look at is God's majesty, and that is the real science behind everything. And
right.
what I really like to contrast that to is a wonderful article that I found from the Sacramento Bee by Jennifer Garza, and it's about Sacramento area churches participating in Evolution Weekend.
And it goes like this. A pastor of All Saints Episcopal Church, the Reverend Betsy Monnet, studied physics in college and does not believe the theory of evolution contradicts the teachings of her faith. This is nice, actually. She said the Bible was not intended as a science book, but rather is essential for telling stories that help us understand who we are.
As a secular humanist Jew, that's a great little nod to you know what we think of. It's something that historically helps us define ourselves and our heritage.
Right. This weekend, Monnet's congregation will join hundreds of other churches across the country, including about half a dozen in the Sacramento area, with sermons about the compatibility of science and faith. It's all part of the 7th Annual Evolution Weekend, a program by the Clergy Letter Project that promotes science and religion. What we are really celebrating is science, said Mina Futrell, co-chair of the event. She said the event attracts religious believers and atheists. There may be a diverse group, but science belongs to all of us. It's a common language. What many don't realize is that many mainstream religions came to accept or accommodate Darwin's work generations ago, has said. Ken Ham disagrees. Basically, only the most liberal churches have signed up to participate, Ham said. If you are a Christian and you believe in evolution, then you are undermining biblical authority.
And Ken Ham, everyone's favorite creationist and biblical literalist, builder of the Noah's Ark replica and the evolution or the creation museums.
Yeah, this is Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, well known to the atheism visibility movement. As someone who likes to say a lot of lies about us.
And it's just generally ridiculous.
And just misrepresent science until the cows come home.
Things to make you say, what?
Yeah. Bringing us into this conversation, we actually have a call. This is a show regular, 13 Heathens from Texas. And you want to talk about churches and Darwin.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I've got a bit of a story for you today.
Looking forward to it.
One of the things you run into is that theists just can't wrap their head around the idea of people not being devotional to things. And it makes you wonder how, you know, how they see us when it comes to things like Darwin. Today I got to find out.
Oh.
My wife and I actually go to a Unitarian Universalist church. It's, you know, the only secular safe place to go along those lines.
Well, I'm hearing a bit about that. I've heard tell of a return to Jesus movement in some parts of the Unitarian church.
The Unitarian church I go to today was actually having a sermon on Darwin.
Oh, very nice.
Praising his discoveries and all that it has brought us and all these other things, and I sat there through the entire sermon at the back trying desperately not to giggle because I kept imagining what would happen if one of these standard Christians walked into the door and heard them preaching about the glory of Darwin.
I think it is. It presents an interesting sort of image, and, you know, when you say, you know, a traditional Christian coming in through the front door, we're seeing more and more Christians that may be more mainstream at an All Saints Episcopal Church. We see Lutheran churches. And, you know, this may be, I view this as something that's a really neat sort of development in the sort of religious life of people where we realize, hey, you know what? Not everything that we thought was solved by our book is solved by our book. You know, one of the people that was featured in this article that Sam just read had said that, you know, religion asks a different question from science. Science asks how something happened, and religions ask why. I think that it's, you know, it's okay to ask why, and if some people find that why is answered within a particular religious community, I'm okay with that at this point. I just like that there are atheists, secularists, freethinkers, and religious people that are looking at the how and the what that actually happened, and looking at, you know, looking at this for what it really is. This is how it happened.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because that's exactly what I've taught my daughter in terms of this, is that religion is about the why, or in some cases, the why not.
Very nice.
I like that one, indeed.
All right,
have a great show.
Thank you very much.
So I know that there may be some anxious atheists out there that are listening and saying, "Oh my goodness, someone that's okay with you know people in a church believing in evolution, but then also saying that you know you can have faith." That is sort of a cognitive dissonance that I think that some people hold on to and hang on to. And
yeah.
I certainly did for a very long time as a religiously active person.
Well, Mike said something last week, which I think bears repeating in this context, is that the exception is that religious organizations accepting evolution is not coming down from on high. This isn't God coming down and saying, "Oh, never mind, evolution works. It changed all the books." This isn't the clergy. This isn't a papal encyclical. This is really a secular movement within the sectarian world of people saying, "Here is the evidence. It is backed up. It is in many cases irrefutable." Well, as much as anything in science can be irrefutable. But it's definitely the way things are going, and we've achieved these great things. Modern medicine, modern biology, modern taxonomy, none of these things would exist in the way that we think of them without evolution. Computer programming would not work the same way if we didn't have these evolutionary concepts. I'm not saying that computer programs evolved, but we've learned some things from biology, and we've applied them to computers.
And not only that, but in another realm, I guess, when we come to know how things go, we stop blaming it on the devil. Like, we don't think that people who are having a seizure now are, you know, being taken over by some kind of satanic force. We now know what causes it. And
right.
So, you really do make a good point, and I love that 13 Heathens is, you know, you're bringing up your daughter in a way to understand science and understand religion's place in the world. I, as a teacher, love to see that. And I think that it's a neat thing that that churches are also participating in Evolution Weekend. As Ken Ham, is disagreeing and calling Evolution Weekend in churches insignificant. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure really that you're in the majority, Ken Ham, anymore. And you know what? If more churches are following the likes of All Saints Episcopal Church in Sacramento, California, I'm okay with that.
Sadly, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I was expecting to, but I believe Ken Ham might actually represent a majority of Americans. I know he doesn't really represent a majority in the Western world, but in the United States,
I do believe that it's roughly 36% in most polls believe that that evolution did happen, and another 36 or 40% believe that it did not happen and believe that it happened as portrayed by the Bible. Now, which one, which story in Genesis of creation? I'm not sure. I never quite figured out which one they choose between. And then the remaining sort of can't really figure it out or refuse to give an opinion or aren't really sure either way.
So what we're really getting down to here is Darwin is not a prophet. Darwin's word is not law. We don't talk about laws in science the way people talk about laws in religion. There is no law of gravity. People call it a law of gravity, but that's a local that's a language thing. It's not actually a law in science. It's a theory in science,
and a theory backed up by observable facts.
The closest thing there is to a law in science is a mathematical proof, and that's about as far as it goes. And it doesn't mean the same thing as it does in religion. And we have 150 years of the art and the science of biology and evolutionary studies that were big changes. You know, Stephen Jay Gould, for one thing. Just to name one of the thousands of scientists working on evolution who have brought changes to the way people think about the theory that Darwin first proposed. Scripture doesn't change over time. They tell us that over and over and over again. Even though we see the morality changing and people changing, they want their scripture to remain very fixed. And that's not what science is about. And people might fear that when 13 Heathens talks about glory, about how, you know, people are talking about the glory of Darwin. It all comes down to words, doesn't it? We don't mean the same thing.
We don't mean the same thing. We don't hold Darwin as our prophet. We don't hold The Origin of Species as an unchanging book. We don't even hold the theory of evolution as something that's unchanging and guiding all of our principles and our morality. So
we'll see. We'll see if we get anything about that, I think.
I think so.
Time for some emails?
Yeah, I think we have time for an email or two.
All right.
Email says what?
Our first email comes to us from Timothy from Tennessee, and he says, "Hi, I'm an out atheist who attends a fundamentalist Christian university in Tennessee. I am actually chronicling my experience through a blog. I'm having quite a difficult time finding a date, or any non-skeptic friends for that matter, and I was wondering if you might have any tips for me. Transferring is not an option for me right now. I would appreciate any thoughts that you would have on the matter. Thank you, Timothy."
Timothy, I'm so sorry that this email reaches us and reaches you at a you know, the arbitrary time of 2 days before February 14th. You know, not an important date by anyone's standards.
Whoa, Becky.
No reflection on Sam. You know, Timothy, it's going to be really tough. I think that if you can connect with folks online, that's a great thing. Transferring may not be an option for you right now, you know, university is generally 4 years at the max. I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
You are a lot braver than I am.
Ouch. Well, Tennessee is a bit out there, but I know there are organizations in Tennessee. I believe there might even be another show like ours in Tennessee on the public channel, on the public network.
Well, yeah, there are things like that available in most areas of the country, but going to a fundamentalist Christian university, that's something that I don't think I could do, and I applaud your bravery.
We do have an episode about dating that we did a few weeks ago that you're definitely welcome to check out. This is really where the internet wins for people, is if you want to meet skeptics and you want to meet atheists and you're going to a Christian university, if you go to an atheist meeting and you say that you're going to a fundamentalist university, you might get some attention. I'll just throw that out there.
I guess that would kind of like being going to an atheist meetup looking for a nice Christian woman to settle down with.
I don't know about that, but I know that's really kind of shallow, but
ladies or gentlemen, there's Timothy out there at a fundamentalist Christian university in Tennessee. See if you can befriend any of those folks, either online or in person. See if we can, it shows the importance of really being out there and creating those networks and communities. So we wish you best of luck, Timothy, and hope to hear back from you soon.
Our next email comes to us from Tyler from New England, and he writes, "I wanted to get your opinion on something that I'm thinking about doing. I happened upon an email through a club that I'm a part of, and a local YMCA was offering a job that I think I would really enjoy doing over the summer. I responded to the email, and after some correspondence with the people who do the hiring, the job looks like a great fit for me skills-wise. Now, I was reading through the camp's mission statement, and they mentioned that they want to help people develop their God-given potential in spirit, mind, and body. But as with any organization, they are equal opportunity employers, and just because I'm an atheist, that doesn't mean they can't hire me." Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting thing, because I know in a lot of places, the YMCA has sort of dropped its most of its religion, correct?
Many places, it's been rebranded as the Y.
Right.
It's just the Y.
It's Christian in the same way that many Northern European nations are Christian. It's sort of a vestigial organ, from what I'm told. But if they're telling him that you need to have God-given potential spirit to do the job, that could be a problem. You did a sort of a camp like that once, didn't you?
I've been a camp counselor and I've been a camper. I've done religious camps and I've done religiously affiliated camps that are really mostly secular in nature. I think most YMCA camps are generally there to give kids a great place to connect and have fun and develop leadership skills and have experiences that they hadn't had before. I would say go for it, Tyler. Unless there's a Camp Quest area in your area or a non-sectarian camp in your area, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, you never know how people are going to react unless you go and test the water. So, yeah, go do it.
So it doesn't seem overtly religious in your job responsibilities. I would say that, you know, ask. Say, hey, do we have grace before meals? If you're uncomfortable with that, maybe try a different camp.
Yeah, getting more information would probably be a good idea. But I think Mike might disagree, but I would lean towards taking the job and just see if you can find any fellow atheists there, or if you can, you know, just be a part of it without having to be a part of the religion.
Yeah, indeed. So I think that it's, you know, a great way to interact. And Tyler, you know, I think that being a summer camp counselor is a great thing to do. I, as a teacher, say, hey, you know what? Help those kids have an awesome summer.
All right, that's all the time we got for today. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me was Rebecca Friedman and Nick Kennedy. As usual, our music was by Chris Coleman. My production assistants were Mike Gillis and Darren Garvin. Our post show is at Doyle's at 5. Ask an Atheist is an NDM Media production. Our voicemail is 206-420-0997. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, and we will see you later.